in a room at the Sage Thinking Digital Conference 2013, and for the first time I'm seeing something that has genuinely got me quite excited, even though I know very little about it. Well, I'm stood with Ian Forrester, BBC R&D, and I'm hoping, who's this at the door? Let me just open this door. Hello, can I help you? Come on in.
No, it's all right.
Come on in.
You do the interview.
Is that your boss?
Yes.
he's microphone shy, which is surprising, because we just watched you do a talk, and at the very end there was kind of a reveal.
Yeah.
And boom, you take this box out, this perceptive radio.
Perceptive radio. We've been working on it for a while, and it made sense because we had the perceptive media idea for a while, and perceptive media was always meant to be about like the TV and the radio and things like that, that would be kind of internet-infused. And so it made sense to like build the radio and make it a kind of a true internet radio, but can actually play back perceptive media content.
So this is internet infused, as you've just said.
Yeah.
It is a radio which gives you internet radio channels, does it?
No, it doesn't. At the moment, it doesn't. So what it does, it connects to the internet. We can choose what we want to put on it.
Okay.
It's a prototype, first of all. It's not meant to be a kind of thing that you buy and you connect to the internet, you know, your local stations. But
how does it deliver me media different from anything else?
Ah, no, all right. So bear in mind, it's a prototype, right?
Yeah.
The concept of it is to deliver medium, you know, over the internet to the box, and then using the range of sensors it has, be able to change the content based on what you're doing, how you're feeling, are you paying attention, that kind of thing.
So the content that is being streamed to and through this box, mm-hmm, will vary dependent on certain parameters relating to the listener?
Yes.
And what kind of sensors?
Okay, so on this box we have, on the front we have a proximity sensor, and then on the top we have a light sensor, and on the back we have a microphone. The microphone is not used to listen to conversations. It's there to just generally tell if someone's what the sound level's like in the room.
Also, probably tell if they're washing up.
Yeah, exactly. Washing up. I mean, the thing about it is, you must have been there when you're listening to the radio and you're doing washing up and you turn on the tap, and then you have to like turn the volume up on the radio, you know, to get over the sound of the gushing water. Well, with this, you know, it could work that, you know, it just automatically goes, oh, there's sound, I need to increase the level.
Interestingly, my digital radio in the kitchen is just above the sink, and quite often I'll have to reach over and turn it up if there is a particularly good song. That
not very safe, is it?
Not really, but if the little boy and me want to have a bit of a dance around the kitchen, yeah, for a crazy moment, but this radio could effectively see us dancing,
yes,
adjust the volume accordingly.
Yes, it could. It's... I mean, I kind of a bit loathe when I talk about music, because your music is interesting, but what the key for perceptive media is, it's breaking down the elements of the programming down to individual elements, objects. And so that's when, so unlike music where you're just playing the music and you've got like a stereo track, we're talking about, you know, the example where which was played on the screen, where the guy's using fruit, mm-hmm, we can actually, if we had each one of those as a track or as an object, we could manipulate, okay, so you like listening to hi-hats,
yeah,
over bass drums, or your radio can't support bass drums that low, mm-hmm, so we're going to play this kind of slightly filtered version, so it sounds like how most people make it sound.
That's quite interesting, because you're showing me, in a way, the limitations of how perceptively different you can make music compared to actual content. So I imagine that, you know, there may be, well, be a GPS sensor in the radio that knows where it is, and it might adjust the programming relevant to very local news.
Yeah, so it's got Wi-Fi, and because it's got Wi-Fi, it's got geolocation. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't got GPS. It, yeah, it didn't make sense because most people have are inside a house, so you know, it makes sense to do it that way. And we didn't want it to be so precise. We just want it to be a rough area.
Yeah.
I think you're still missing the concept of like, or we're missing the understanding of what perceptive media could do.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about breaking down programs down to individual objects. So you're breaking down to the so okay, for example, in the play we play, Breaking Out, we have a voice for the lift, a voice for the main character, and a few other characters, but we also have objects for the lift. And the lift has like the button presses, it has the background noise, which is on a loop. All those things are objects, and they can be manipulated in real time.
Oh, wow. So you're talking about a play, for example, being multiple tracks, and every single one of those tracks can be adjusted depending on a parameter.
Yes.
Now I'm getting you. Yes. Wow, that's really quite...
That's what perceptive media is all about. That's why we need to build a new radio to support that. Because it's not just, oh, well, you know, let's just fiddle with the volume. We're talking about, like, okay, you've just put the tap up.
Mm.
You probably want to hear the dialogue.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear the background noise really loud. You want to hear the dialogue really loud.
I'm just picturing a virtual mixing desk where every element within a play is on a separate channel, and this thing is just automatically adjusting depending on what you're doing, where you're standing, what the sound levels are. That's quite amazing.
Yes, that is basically perceptive media. Now, to blow your mind even more, that's just audio, but video.
Mm.
We could do the exact same thing with video.
So I could be watching television and I feel that I'm connected to this soap opera. They feel like my family. But then when my family actually start appearing in the pictures on the wall, because it knows my Facebook account, that would freak me out.
It would freak out. And this is a key thing, right? So the thing why we call it perceptive media and why we think it's different from anything else is there's still a level of control that a story writer has.
Mm.
The story writer goes, at this point, okay, if the sensor's saying this, then do this, or allow it to do this.
Mm.
So it's not going to do it all the time. It isn't like a game where you press, or like the Kinect thing, you're waving at it.
Mm.
And
so not truly interactive as a such?
Not interactive, no. It's perceptive.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of perceptive within within the role of what the story writer wants.
But the weirdness here is it's perceptive media, but it doesn't want you to be too perceptive, if at all, to the changes that are happening. Unless it's directly relevant to your geographic position.
Yeah.
Potentially. Because I wouldn't want to hear an adjustment in sound. I just want to be able to hear it better.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, I mean, you know, obviously, the examples we've always had are, like, for the harder hearing. Mm. You know, we can literally remove all the background noise and some of the mid-ground noise and just have dialogue from the main characters. And the other characters, we can even remove them.
So would there be a kind of questionnaire that you'd have to program your radio? How does it know you're hard of hearing? Because you've already got it undialed up to 11.
So that's a question which we need to answer, and that's what research is all about. But I think we would find a way, you know. I'm sure that, I mean, we don't want to kind of have, like, you know, press this button for I'm hard of hearing.
Yeah.
But I think there's ways of letting the radio know that you are hard of hearing. And it could be, if you're consistently turning up to 11, you know, to try and hear, and it kind of goes, okay, well, maybe actually I should do something about that. I should help the user, you know, to hear it better.
God, it's like a robot radio.
Yeah, kind of. You know, it's just being smart, and that's what the, you know, it's all about. It's about trying to be a bit smart about, you know, what the media's doing, you know.
How exciting is R&D?
R&D is very exciting, and if you ever want to look for jobs or join the training scheme, then let us know.
So where can they find you?
Well, you can find me at cubicgarden.com, and you can find me on the bbc.co.uk/ RD website.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Okay, thank you much.